Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Everybody.
Hey guys.
It's another episode of your favorite true crime podcast.
Let's hope.
Martinis and murder. Yeah, let's hope that that's
murder.
True. And murder.
Didn't someone tweet us saying like, I can't stop saying martinis and
murder.
That's
yeah,
like
we've
our
done that a lot.
Big Snapchat thing.
Totally.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, I wanted to kick it off this week, actually, with a huge announcement, John, which we sort of touched upon last week, but we are doing another live show just in time for the holidays.
Yeah.
It's a great Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever holiday gift you want to be getting this year.
It's a holiday miracle.
It's a holiday miracle.
Right, right.
Come be in the audience at Caroline's on December 21st at 7:30 here in New York City. It's the same place we were last time.
Yeah.
Right in Midtown, right by our office. You can actually buy tickets now at oxygen.tv/Caroline's. My parents will be there. So, I mean, if you don't want to see me and John.
And let's be honest.
You want to see Michael and Susan.
Your parents were, or at least your mom, was a big part of the first show that we did.
Impromptu, as you let me go with
it. I did,
yeah. And I promised to be better behaved this time, John.
Why promise that? Let's see how it goes.
Just with you. You know, I'm going to allow you to sing, because I know you love to sing.
Thank you.
We're still going to have to throw some shit at Matt, though.
Definitely.
That's
in
okay.
In fact, we should have, like, maybe a, like, Santa's bag full of projectiles that we could maybe throw at him.
Oh,
like just what happened now. Oh,
I
damn.
Felt it on my back.
What could it be?
I think it's a fresh orange peel.
And he's throwing more. I will say I walked into the studio today and
you
I saw
what?
An orange and I was like, oh no.
Can we get like a
PTSD.
Big Santa bag of coal and then
just smash
it
over
it
his
at Matt, whatever it has to
still
happen.
Throwing orange peels.
I hope
yeah,
the president of Oxygen walks by right now.
She wouldn't that be hilarious if, by the way, she's never down here where we're recording.
Never. But like what would you say if you saw a grown ass man?
I think she would laugh, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throwing
yeah.
orange peels
yeah.
at his
you know
coworkers.
I did that? Because somebody wrote on my Instagram, why don't you ever mess with Darren?
Oh.
And Darren wrote, he knows better.
That's
he
a
does
good point.
Know better.
Yeah.
Because John's, let me tell you something. John's
yeah.
a tough cookie.
Thank you. I am.
Like, I wouldn't mess with you. You're muscular.
Thank you.
You've got good shape to you.
Oh, wow. That's
for
completely
me,
not true.
But you're too nice.
I
for
am too
me,
nice.
I'm
yeah.
weak. I'm small. But I'm an asshole. And he knows not to mess with me.
Interesting way to look at that.
Yes.
Yeah. You never know what's going on in Matt's head, you know.
How or he, any of ours, actually.
We're going to going back to the Caroline show. We're going to have a special guest. Now last week we
yes.
said we would announce the details. Very excited to announce that our friend Michelle Collins will join us. She is a comedian and a former co-host of The View. So you guys probably have seen her on TV quite a few times. She was on The View a few seasons ago. She's very funny. And actually Matt used to be her boss back in the day as
wow.
well. So this is all just like circling back to Matt, frankly. So it'll be fun to have two people that have and used to report to Matt on stage performing at
the
same time.
This is going to be a Matt Bash 2017.
Oh, absolutely. If anything, that's exactly what it's going to be.
I love her. I love Michelle Collins' bio because like part of it in there is always like, and people often recognize her as the 17th host of The View. And I was like, that's amazing. Yeah, I love you
Michelle
so much.
Michelle Collins loves me.
Yes, she does.
Are we sure about that?
We're sure. I mean, I think.
How
we'll
confident.
Find out.
Okay, we'll find out.
Yeah. But I can't imagine her saying anything negative about
me
whatsoever.
Okay.
We'll see.
I just can't. December 21st.
It's the holidays. You know what I mean? Miracles happen and right. Santa's here, so right. We never know.
December 21st.
Tickets are already selling so fast, so make sure to make your plans. Buy them ASAP. We would love to have a cocktail
it
with you guys.
It was so fun to meet the fans of the show that did come to our first one a few months ago. So I feel like we have a whole bunch of new fans even since that last show. So it'll be exciting to see who shows up.
We kind of do have the best fans in the world.
We definitely do.
They send us so many good things.
We get gifts now. By the way, if you want to send us things in the mail this holiday season.
No anthrax or anything,
though. Please don't send things like that.
We have so much anthrax.
We have enough of that as it is.
It's too much. It's stacking the shelves.
Stored up. Yeah, exactly. You can find the address in the show notes on this episode. But we do want to say a special thanks to Carrie from Detroit.
Yes.
Who sent us homemade metal bracelets, and we absolutely love them. You can find a link to her Etsy shop in our show notes as well. She writes, Martinis and Murder Crew, thank you for making Monday something I look forward to. Keep kicking ass. Love you guys, except Matt. Fuck you. I hope you like the homemade gifts. Carrie from Detroit. So thanks, Carrie.
I'm
so
obsessed.
Good, right?
I love when people just write to Matt on his Instagram like, fuck you,
yeah,
Matt.
I mean, it's
we
not
presented
like they...
it in a meeting with his boss, and I was like, look at the Instagram followers guy's getting. It's the engagement.
It's a really a beautiful thing, our fans.
And a big thank you to you, because we really love you. And Megan, you made a bracelet for Megan, and she was so touched.
Yes, she was.
She was mid-tears, and she was just so happy. She tried it on. We're all very excited, so thank you so much
and
for doing
that. And by
the way,
thanks, Megan. You help us set up the technology to make the show run every week, so thank you in advance. Megan was texting me at 10 p.m. the other night about something, and I was like, she is dedicated.
Are we sure that she does anything, though, or just like comes here for the free drinks?
No, that's
like
Matt.
I see her
that's
clicking
Matt.
Things, but I don't know. Like, it's like she's hitting enter once. Like, thanks, Megan. Like, great.
Yeah, that's
like,
gotta
hit enter.
I think you're so used to Matt not doing anything, you assume everybody's.
It's the M.
Exactly.
Name. That's what's confusing.
One
me.
Last
Sorry,
announcement
Megan.
Before we get into this week's show. Oxygen crime stickers are now available in the iOS App Store. So, from general crime related decals like sirens and evidence markers to stickers related to the Oxygen series like Cold Justice and Snapped and Martinis and Murder stickers.
Oh my God, I love that.
We were having
though.
So much fun. We were in a group text with Matt yesterday, and there's so many ways to like, you know, there's like a busted sign,
you guys put
guilty,
me behind jail,
behind bars. It's really fun. If you have iOS, stickers are so much fun.
The reindeer head is on there,
reindeer
which
head,
is my favorite.
Cheers, bitches is another one.
The reindeer head is funny because it kind of has a little bit of like a wonky, lazy, drunk
yeah, it does.
Guy, and I'm like,
yeah.
That's so Matt.
Well, that's the show.
Yeah,
we're,
that's
we usually
so
have
Matt.
A drunk
that's what
guy.
Matt actually looks like.
So you can check those out. In the iOS App Store, just search for Oxygen Crime Stickers.
Just so many gifts to give this holiday season, but let's kick this off by us getting a gift.
Yes.
Matt,
what are we drinking?
I'm parched.
Okay, well, first I wanted to say we are aiming to have merchandise
yes!
at the show.
That's right. Oh my God, how could I have forgotten
that? And we're starting kind of small. There will only be a couple of items, but we have plans to make a lot more soon. So
come early, come often.
Details coming soon.
And get your merch.
Yes.
Do we know? Don't tell us now, but do you know some of the things that we're going to be selling right now off the top of your head?
Beanie hats.
Really?
T-shirts.
I want.
Maybe socks.
Okay.
Do we get a discount or do we have to pay full price?
I feel
for
like
these,
we'll probably
Matt?
Have to pay full price.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, I'll have to pay double. You get half off.
Okay, so the drink of the week. So this week's murder is, or murders, I should say.
Oh, yeah, that's
is,
true.
It's a pretty brutal story.
Yeah.
And I was having trouble thinking of some sort of concoction. It just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
I wanted to do something just like a stiff, hard drink.
Yeah.
We're going back to a regular standard gin martini. We're going to have a little bit of vermouth. And also, we're going to add a splash of orange bitters.
Into it, but make sure mine doesn't have vermouth. Remember, I hate vermouth. Okay. Didn't love vermouth.
I'm good with everything that you're throwing down. I love some orange bitters.
Okay.
I've never had orange bitters, but I will say when I walked in the studio, or wait, yes, I have. What am I saying? But when I walked in the studio,
you've never had pumpkin pie.
I never had pumpkin pie. We'll get to that in the listener. No, we'll get to the pumpkin pie when we get to the voicemails this week.
Great voicemail.
Stay tuned for that. But I walked in and saw the orange, and I was having like hives and flashbacks of when I was hit in the face with an orange peel.
It was really traumatic for you.
It was, yeah. Well, let's get into this week's murder, and this one is crazy.
This one's you were in a state of depression for a solid hour today.
Yeah, we were texting or messaging each other, and I was like, I literally had to kind of like take a break from it because it was actually really affecting me.
You were
me.
Upset. You were very upset.
I was upset. We are doing the BTK killer, which we've gotten a lot of requests on social media voicemails, so there's actually so many people that were interested in this. We couldn't name you all, but thank you to everyone who gave this as a suggestion.
He's very
for
profound
us.
In yes. terms of the serial killers of history.
Right.
You know, I was telling my girlfriend, I was like, oh, we're discussing BTK killer. And she was like, I haven't thought about him in years. Yeah. And so this is a very well-known murderer.
Right.
Do we say what BTK stands for? Are you going to get, or should we let it unfold? Or should we just say what it stands for? Let the mystery, if you don't know it, let the mystery.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's kind of disturbing. So let's start with the early life of this guy. This is Dennis Rader, who was born on March 9th, 1945 in Pittsburgh, Kansas, a quiet town located in the corner of Kansas where Oklahoma and Missouri meet.
That's kind of confusing.
Yeah, that is, because Pittsburgh, like I have friends that live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yeah. It's
I
like
had to reread.
Weird.
I was like, yeah. Okay.
Matt has a thought. No. Oh, please don't.
You put for me. I know.
The eldest of four children, his parents, William and Dorothea Rader, decided to move to Wichita, Kansas's largest city when Dennis was a young boy. Dennis went on to spend pretty much his entire life in Wichita, with the exception of his time in the service and some college. So, you know, he's serving. Oh,
like, love that sound.
Like she's, Matt is serving.
That was
us.
Actually a perfectly
perfect
timed.
Timing. So according to A&E, he didn't experience any childhood trauma, and he called his upbringing normal. But at a young age, Dennis started torturing animals. Now, we've talked about the signs of a murderer throughout.
That's like the start of
absolutely.
Anything, smaller animals.
He hung cats and dogs.
I can't.
Which is like really, really horrible.
Let's not even read that statement. Yeah. I can't even handle that.
Beginning his strangling career early. Now, remember in our first live show, you talked about how you feel more sorry sometimes for animals than other human beings.
Was that insensitive of me?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay.
We'll move on. According to Rolling Stone, the sight of chickens waiting to be slaughtered sexually aroused him. He also became obsessed with women's underwear. He would steal them and wear them, according to Investigation Discovery. So, you know, things are getting a little bit awkward now, especially here. As a child, Dennis was in the Boy Scouts and in a church youth group. He was considered an average student at Riverview Elementary School. He sometimes appeared withdrawn by some accounts. He later admitted, according to Investigation Discovery, that while in grade school, he had fantasies about bondage, control, and torture. So, to me, it's like, who even knows what this stuff is when you're in grade school? Like,
yeah, I mean, how would you even know what a sexual torture is?
Yeah, like, I didn't even know I was gay or what gay even was until, like, my junior year of high school or something.
And
so,
when I think about it, I don't remember, like, how or when I learned what sex was.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've always just known, but... Yeah. To know so vividly that whatever you're thinking is a little weird at that age
totally.
Says something to me.
Very weird.
I have a story.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So when I first started learning about sex, I asked my brother what it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got those questions, too.
And he said, well, what do you think it is? And I said...
Where are we going here?
I think I said, well, I think... You put your finger somewhere.
Matt, cut off his mic. Cut the mic.
That's a wrap on Matt.
That's
this
a wrap
episode.
On this episode of the PTK.
Why doesn't that surprise me, by the way?
Why do we let him speak?
I don't know. We're moving on.
As soon as he said thing, I was out. I was out like a light. I was like,
nope.
Make our drinks.
Anyway, as he reached puberty, this Dennis person, he used to fantasize about tying girls up and sexually abusing them, which is obviously very disturbing. He fantasized about tying up Mouseketeer Annette Funicello, in particular, CBS News reports. Drinks are coming through. Thank you. Mine's vermouthless. Okay, thank you.
He's just had to stir it with his finger. He'll be there in a second.
Finger,
yeah, he'll
okay,
be back
great.
In a second.
Oh, God, please don't do that.
Yep.
He used to tie himself up as a kid and give himself, quote, sexual release, according to the last podcast on the left, which Megan here has worked on.
Yeah, it's like we're all connected and we should mention sort of way, yes.
That we are going to have one of the hosts from that podcast as a guest on our own show soon. So details on that are TBD.
But we're so excited about this. But let me ask you this. When we were reading these details sort of about the background of him growing up, you know, he had no known, you know, known sexual abuse when he was a kid, seemed to live like a grow up kind of normal and, you know, quote unquote normal, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this is like a chemical imbalance or if this is something that you're just born with or you pre-exposed, like what in his mind, what circuits in his mind are not firing off the way maybe anyone else might.
Well, you know, the conversation about mental illness has really become prominent in the United States in recent years because of all the mass shootings. And I think this is a great example of somebody who, and we'll get into like the way he reacted.
Psyche in general, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into all of like his reactions and things in court later on that are clear indicators that there's something very mentally disturbing about
Something's
him.
Not firing. A synapse isn't connecting here.
Right.
In 1963, Dennis graduated from Wichita Heights High School. He worked at a grocery store until 1965 when he moved to Salina to attend Kansas Wesleyan College. Fun fact.
Thank you, Matt.
My brother went to Wesleyan University in Connecticut.
Connecticut. Because there's another Wesleyan. I feel like there's Wesleyans everywhere.
There's like Ohio Wesleyan, like Miami. Well, I don't even know. Miami, Ohio Wesleyan. He went to Wesleyan University in Connecticut.
Matt's garnishing drinks. I don't know if I want the orange peel.
I didn't get a fucking garnish.
I don't know if I want the orange peel near me, to be honest.
Well,
keep going.
Dennis was considered a below average student and he received poor grades according to Thought.co. After just a year of school, he decided to enlist in the military. So during the summer of 1966, Dennis, who was then at the time 21 years old, joined the U.S. Air Force. He spent 4 years in the Air Force being stationed in Alabama, Japan, Korea, Greece, and Turkey. Wow. Like,
yeah.
Of all the places he went to Alabama, Japan, Korea, Greece, and Turkey.
Yeah.
Alabama is still probably the most foreign to me of all those places anyway.
That's a good point, yes. Take a drink if you're
he's
listening.
Garnishing, so I'm just going to wait. Right. By the way, I think if I were to join any sort of service, the Air Force would be my last choice because...
Why is that?
Well, a little bit of a fear of flying. It just feels
an
extra scare to me. And so that just, you know, just like added pressure.
That's true. I just took a quick sip of mine before... We cheers, and I think Matt is trying to kill me.
So inappropriate.
That is so inappropriate.
Sorry. Cheers, bitches.
Cheers, bitches.
Make sure
stop
we get a loud
yellering,
noises,
guys. Cheers.
Loud noises.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I think he's trying to kill me. This might be the strongest drink I've ever had.
Whew.
Like, I took barely a sip, and I can feel the warmth in my chest. Yes.
Yeah, that's medicinal.
All right.
So during that time, Dennis attained the Air Force Good Conduct Medal, the Small Arms Expert Marksmanship Ribbon, and the National Defense Service Medal. This guy is clearly dedicated to his craft, let's say a skill. He's committed, he's diligent, he's good.
Good at his job, yeah.
He mostly worked on the installation of antenna equipment while in the Air Force. By 1970, Dennis was actively discharged from the Air Force and went back home to Wichita and began working at IGA Supermarket in the meat department.
Have you ever been to an IGA?
You know, I didn't even know what it was.
It's kind of, I feel like it's a regional.
It's got to be like a Midwestern thing.
Yeah, well, I lived in Pennsylvania when I was a really young child, and I remember going to the IGA supermarket. So when I saw this here for like literally the first time since I was a kid, I was like, ooh, was he in one of the IGAs that I was in when I was a kid?
You're shopping in the meat
Maybe,
department.
Yeah. Darren, where have you been all day?
Well, every week at this time, I wait in line at the post office to mail glitter bombs to our producer, Matt, at his office, his home, and his home office. It's part of my weekly routine.
I sincerely hope you're leaving my name off of the return address. And why aren't you using stamps.com? It's a much easier way to send Matt your festive packages, and it doesn't involve wasting hours in line at the post office.
Wait, I thought stamps.com was postage for things like postcards, birthday cards to your grandparents, and letters canceling your gym membership. Can it handle my special delivery? deliveries?
Well, Stamps.com lets you do anything you would do at the post office right from the comfort of your own desk, including buying and printing official U.S. postage for any letter or package. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com is always open.
Wow, this is going to free up so much of my time. Maybe I'll even pick up a hobby, like axe throwing.
Yeah, there's that. Or you could try to actually send out your holiday cards on time this year. No one wants a Happy New Year card in March, Darren.
Message received, John.
And right now, you can use the promo code MARTINIS and receive a 4-week trial, which includes postage and a digital scale.
Skip the line this holiday season and go to Stamps.com. For a special offer, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in MARTINIS. That's Stamps.com and enter MARTINIS. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. He eventually met his wife and future mother of their two children, Paula Dietz, in 1971. They married that same year. They were wed on May 22nd, 1971, as reported by the Wichita Eagle. He was 26 and she was 23.
So we should talk a little bit about his jobs because they actually are kind of pertinent to the information about the murders later on. So in 1972, Dennis left the IGA Superstore to work for Wichita's largest employer at the time, outdoor supply company Coleman Company. He graduated from Wichita State University in 1979 with a bachelor's in the Administration of Justice.
Which is funny.
Yeah, of all
ironic,
things.
Ironic, rather.
Administration of Justice. It was his third time attending college. Again, not a notable student, according to Thought.co. On a chilling note, according to the New York Times, he worked at the Wichita-based office of ADT Security Services from 1974 to 1988, where he installed security alarms in homes.
Just keep this in mind
story. Because in several cases, he installed security alarms for homeowners specifically concerned about the BTK killings, according to Investigation Discovery. So that's just one of those things. It's like how it's like the type of thing you read in a book or see in a movie.
Totally.
It seems so bizarre.
It's so ironic.
Dennis worked as a census field operations supervisor for the Wichita area in 1989. He also worked as a dog catcher and city ordinance enforcement officer, which is insane considering that he used to hang dogs as a child. During this time, one neighbor, Donna Berry, complained that he killed a dog in front of her and her children and its owners, according to ABC News.
This would traumatize me for life and give me PTSD, what you're about to say.
Quote, Berry said she and her children were out on their front lawn one day and a neighbor from across the street was outside with his dog. In his capacity as a dog catcher and ordinance officer, Berry said Raider approached the dog and allegedly tried to mace it. But according to Berry, the wind blew the mace back in his face. She says Raider groped for his tranquilizer gun, but couldn't get to it. That's when he allegedly pulled out a gun and shot the dog.
What the fuck are you macing a dog for?
Yeah, exactly. However, she also told ABC, quote, he was generally a really nice gentleman. I've known him since I was probably 4 or 5 years old. So, you know, Dennis was also a devout member of his church. In fact, he was the president of Christ Lutheran Church, according to CBS News. He was also a Boy Scout troop leader. So all of this, I think we wanted to make sure we gave his background because all intents and purposes, he's a normal guy. And,
which is
aside
common.
Aside from those things. Right, exactly. Which is so common. It's like
the Green River guy.
It's
he
your
was
next
totally
door neighbor.
Normal. He's helping people fix their houses and their cars for free.
And then this
they're
happens.
Raping and murdering people
right.
on the side.
Well, let's get into that.
Side project.
Exactly.
So in 2005, a local Wichita news anchor appeared on CNN to discuss interviewing Dennis, in which Dennis said, quote, all males probably go through some kind of sexual fantasy. Mine were just a little bit weirder than other people. Emphasis mine.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think somewhere along the line I knew, probably by the time I was in eighth grade or a freshman in high school, I knew I had some abnormal tendencies at that point in time. But they exploded on January the 15th, 1974. That's when the game ball, the ball game exploded.
Game
You're
ball.
Not a sports fan.
No, I am.
You know, I just wanted, this is just crazy. As you were reading that, I was thinking,
yeah,
this is really, really weird wording because,
yeah.
And here's a spoiler alert, but 4 people die.
Yeah.
Okay. And the ball game exploded. That's, is he saying he hit a home run or something?
You
know? Yeah. Like, or like his entire fantasy had been realized. Like that's kind of how I read it, you know,
yeah.
Like his whole world erupted because this was his calling.
Yes.
It sounds weird to say, but that's what
but it's also
fireworks
just
to me.
Strange that
Yeah.
Four people die, and he's saying a home run, which is four runs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just so weird.
Yeah, that's actually a really good, that's a really good point. And I
drink.
Think.
Drink.
I think the way that it's being quoted is an important thing to note, because we're going to get into his demeanor. Yeah. And he's just kind of saying this as if it's, yeah. I went to John's house for dinner. We right. had pasta. We did this. It's so normal. So right. what happened? Matt sort of told you he killed four members of the Otero family. Dennis had met Julie Otero while working at the Coleman plant, where she also worked, according to Fox News. On January 15th, 1974, Dennis approached her home and cut the phone lines. Julie was married with children. It's weird to think about how cutting phone lines, like, but that's yeah, a very serious offense. But now I'm like, do I have to be worried about that?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, I don't.
Oh, right, we
because
don't.
Because I have a cell phone.
And it's not 1974.
But I have considered, like, that would be the scariest thing
absolutely.
To me, you know?
I was thinking, you know, the opening to Scream, how
yes.
she's... I always think
that's
about that
thought.
When I'm like, oh my God, like, what's going on with the phones and everything?
So Julie was married with children. Dennis actually considered walking away at one point and admitted in court that he was having reservations, according to CNN. So something in his mind is telling him he shouldn't be doing what he's about to do.
Right.
But then, as he's having this thought, the door opened. The family's young son opened it to let the dog out, and Dennis saw this as an opportunity to enter. He went in, pulled a pistol on the family, telling them he was hungry and wanted food. He was basically lying and telling them he was just going to tie them up and rob them. According to the court transcripts, Dennis said he took the four family members back to a bedroom and tied them up while holding them at gunpoint. Soon the family began complaining about being bound too tightly. So Dennis said in court testimony, quote, I re-loosened the bonds a couple of times. I tried to make Mr. Otero as comfortable as I could. Apparently he had a cracked rib from a car accident, so I had him put a pillow down for his head.
Oh, how nice.
Well, he's a gentleman.
Yeah.
Had he put a parka or a coat underneath him. You know, they talked to me about, you know, giving the car and whatever money. I guess they didn't have very much money. And from there, I realized that I didn't have a mask on or anything. They already could ID me. And I made a decision to go ahead and put them down, I guess, or strangle them.
Oh, okay.
He has such a weird way of explaining. Again, it's so matter of fact, but not necessarily coherent in the way that right. he's saying it. He's just like... You can tell it's stream of conscious, but completely normal. Just yeah. saying what he did that day.
It's like he's trying. It's almost like he's like remembering how he prepared yesterday's dinner. He's right. like, well, first I put the milk in the fridge.
Like preheat the oven.
But then I spilled the chips, so I had to clean them up. Yeah. And it's like, this isn't how you should be describing these things.
Totally. Then, as Dennis described in court, he put a plastic bag over Mr. Otero's head and wrapped some cords around it and tightened the bag.
Oh.
Dennis soon learned that suffocating someone to death was not as easy as it looks on TV. He said, quote, I have never strangled anyone before, so I really don't know how much pressure you had to put on a person or how long it would take. He also said, I strangled Mrs. Otero and then she went out. She passed out. I thought she was dead. She passed out. And I strangled Josephine. She passed out. I thought she was dead. And then I went over and put a bag on Junior's head. And then, if I remember right, Mrs. Otero came back. She came back and... Basically, every time he strangled someone yeah. and thought they were dead, they would later come to and he'd have to do it all over again.
Which is like how horrible.
Right.
It's like sometimes we get to certain things in the show where it's like, okay, you know, this is what you hear about in crime. But some things always kind of put an extra chill down my spine. And the idea that these people were passing out and like coming back and like realizing what's happening is so
this is like a
disturbing.
Sick, like cartoon of yeah, some sort of a serial killer gone wrong, you know?
John, good point.
Yeah, thank you.
Drink.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
And not only are you coming to, but. You're coming to
disoriented.
Your whole family
getting right. strangled
right.
over and over again and realizing what's happening and not able to do anything about it. I mean,
it's yeah. a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. Well, it actually continues. At one point, the mom came to, you know, after she had passed out and begged for her son's life. He eventually killed the parents first. Again, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Killed the parents first and then the boy before taking the 11-year-old girl, Josephine, down to the basement. According to NBC News, Josephine, according to CNN, was yeah. the target of his desire. But according to NBC News, a special agent later testified that after Dennis killed Josephine Otero's parents and brother, Josephine asked, what's going to happen to me? Again, she's 11.
11-year-old girl had to
Dennis replied, well, honey, you're going to be in heaven with the rest of your family. Here's
this
a quote
so
from
horrible.
Court. I'll be Dennis and you could be the judge.
Okay.
Okay. I then went back and Josephine had woke back up.
What did you do then?
I took her to the basement and eventually hung her.
You hung her in the basement?
Yes, sir.
Did you do anything else at that time?
Yes, I had some sexual fantasies. That was after she was hung.
Imagine just like giving matter-of-fact statements
again,
like this.
Again, he's just so like, yes, I did this and then I did. Yeah. I mean, to some extent, it's. I don't want to say the word refreshing, but at least it was, okay, he's saying everything
he's
that he did, so it's coherent. We understand. He's not trying to deny it. We can get justice
yeah,
for these
true.
Families.
Yeah.
In, if we can look at a silver lining here, but it's so like out of this world to me, the way he's describing it.
And when I was reading this part of the research, I always thought like, what was the judge thinking? Like, how do you stay professional and like not have an emotional reaction when someone is admitting to this kind of stuff to you?
Totally.
Yeah.
And you know, according to Fox News, with yeah. these sexual fantasies, yeah. Dennis apparently masturbated over her body after she died.
So sick.
Unlike many serial killers, Dennis never raped any of his victims, yeah. which we find to be a common thread
yeah,
amongst
definitely.
A lot of people. But he was sexually aroused by the murders and often left his semen behind at crime scenes, according to Rolling Stone. And remember, the whole chickens before slaughter sexually aroused him.
Right.
So when he was aroused sexually, he called that state... I can't even read this. You clearly gave me this to read.
Did I?
He called that state, quote, sparky big time.
Uh-huh.
Which is weird because I'm pretty sure Matt's wife calls him that.
Is that
Matt's,
right?
That's yeah. what I heard. And according to Rolling Stone, he referred to sexual gratification as
so
the big
awkward.
G.
Okay.
All right.
Let's never say those words ever
we're
again.
Out.
We're
done.
Done with those.
Sparky
moving
big
on.
Time. Over and out.
Yep. Well, he then started toying with the media
he
after all this stuff.
The shit
because,
out
by
of
the
media.
Way, yeah, exactly. At this point, he hadn't been caught necessarily.
Right.
So, after the murders, he began toying with the police and the media. He placed his first haunting letter inside an engineering book in the Wichita Public Library in October 1974, according to the book Erotophonophilia, Investigating Lust Murder. Then he contacted a local reporter and told them to find it. In the letter, he described in detail how he killed the Otero family 10 months earlier. According to the Seattle Times, he wrote, quote, when this month, by the way, this is a quote, so there are a lot of like weird
it's hard to
syntax
read, so
here.
Just
yeah.
say
yeah,
it. Yeah, exactly.
I'll just say this, when doing research, he doesn't write well.
No.
I mean,
he's
like almost illiterate. I mean, it's
totally.
Insane.
Yeah.
The spellings and...
Wasn't a great student,
you know, also,
as we remember.
I mean, also... Right. The sparky big time. That I mean, come on.
It's almost like childish.
It's like what a
4-year-old
yeah.
son
I was
going to
say. It's like what a 10-year-old kid would
yeah,
say. Like,
I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah, he wrote, quote, when this monster enter my brain, I will never know, but it here to stay. Society can be thankful that there are ways for people like me to relieve myself at time by day, dreams of some victim being torture and being mine. It a big... complicated game, my friend, of the monster play, putting victims' number down, follow them, checking up on them, waiting in the dark, waiting. Maybe you can stop him. I can't. He has already chosen his next victim. He signed it, yours truly, Guiltily, adding that his codename would be BTK for bind, torture, kill.
So now we know
so
what it stands for. So
that
it clearly has a thing for binding and torturing and killing people.
And also not spelling things correctly.
Yeah, I mean...
Which I had to then
pronounce. Can I say something else? I'm sorry I'm talking so much. Karen
no.
just looked at me like...
Fuck you, Matt.
Somebody was like, no, you're wrong.
I almost
wrong.
Gave him...
Like,
I was like, no, it's fine.
Up.
And then I was like, why am I
but
being nice
it?
To him? Yeah.
She literally scowled at me. Anyway.
Like, ew.
I didn't even see, yeah.
When doing this script,
yeah,
I thought about putting in BTK more as,
yeah.
you know, the killer
right.
this or that or whatever. But, like, I didn't want to give him that.
Yeah.
Because
that's what
he wants that. Though.
Yeah.
That's
because
what he wants.
He thinks of himself as a hero.
Right.
You know? And he made this name up and he wanted people to repeat it. And he wants to go down in
yeah.
history. And now we're talking about him. And
well, and I think, you know...
And there's
definitely
more on that, too.
I completely agree. And also, the reason we're titling this episode this way is so people know him as this.
Right.
But
this is
in
not
terms
glorifying
of our,
him.
Exactly. And in terms of our own research, I think what Matt Matt said is perfect. Yeah.
Well, before we get into the murders of a lot of people that he killed, here's a couple of disturbing details just to keep in mind. According to CNN, he told investigators that he typically masturbated after killings and that he took underwear from female victims and wore them. Also, sometimes women would regain consciousness after being strangled, and he liked to whisper BTK in their ear.
Which I think
fucking creepy.
Continues to emphasize Matt's point is that we don't want to keep putting this out there, you know.
A police detective said that was his form of torture. He certainly wanted them to know that you were being killed by BTK. He also often arranged the victim's clothing when they were dead and took pictures of them. Mm. Catherine Bright, she was 21. She was found stabbed to death in her home on April 14th, 1974. She was also bound with a cord and choked, according to Fox News. According to CNN, Dennis was disappointed that he had to stab Catherine to death and didn't get to strangle her.
Imagine being disappointed by that.
Like, oh, I didn't get to kill her the way I wanted to.
I'm disappointed that my drink's too strong. You know, he's disappointed for very different things.
Yeah, that's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Right, exactly.
He told investigators she fought like a hellcat. There was no way I was ever going to do what I wanted to do, and I had to put her down. He also said stabbing or shooting people wasn't his forte.
Oh, really?
Again, gentlemen. Catherine's brother Kevin was home at the time of the murder. He tied Kevin up and tried to strangle him, but Kevin was fighting, so he shot him twice. He thought Kevin was dead, but when Dennis went to finish off Catherine, Kevin ran from the house. He survived, but was unable to give an accurate description of Dennis. Catherine had also worked at the Coleman plant. Go ahead, Matt. Matt's rolling over.
Red flag.
What's that?
That's two from the Coleman plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our police investigating people at the Coleman plant.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yeah.
And he's also taunting press. I mean, you'd kind of think whether it's like a handwriting match from everyone at Coleman or just general English test 101 might help. But
well, and also just to think again, I know we haven't really done this in a while, but this is the early 70s. There's not the same technology. There's not DNA at this point, or at least it's very early in the DNA world.
Well, I mean, there was always that, I forget which movie it was, and I think it's Superbad or something, where they're talking about how like every crime scene could be solved if there was just semen left at any crime scene by the murder. You know, it's like semen, ultimate DNA. This guy is masturbating on these. Like, if there was any sort of, you know, this is the 70s, if there were any sort of, you'd be able to test that and run that.
Isn't it weird to think that like something like DNA, that I feel like we've grown up in a world where that's just like commonplace, like you just have always kind of known about it. But there was a time not long ago where that wasn't even an option. So,
and it's not even a perfect science now.
No,
you know,
it's not.
I mean, it's still working to get people exonerated who are on death row or in prison. And it's hopefully it's only getting better with technology, but it's definitely very frightening.
Yeah, totally.
So another victim, Shirley Vian, 24, was found strangled in her home on March 17th, 1977. She was found on her bed with a plastic bag over her head. A cord was wrapped around her neck, hands, and feet, according to Fox News. Her three children were home when she was murdered.
It's terrible.
According to the Wichita Eagle, Dennis knocked on the front door of Shirley's house, and her five-year-old son opened the door. Dennis said, "Are your parents home?" And the five-year-old boy said, "My mom, she's sick in bed." Dennis let himself in. In 2005, by the way, the son told the Wichita Eagle that he is still haunted by that.
And we talked recently about like victims feeling guilty about certain things. And, you know, you were 5 years old. Like, there's nothing you could, it's not like you had a conscious understanding of what was even happening at that time. So it's really sad to hear.
That.
Yeah, it's sad to hear that he's feeling that way.
Dennis tied up the oldest child, who was 8, and shut all three kids in the bathroom, locking the door by tying it shut. The kids were eventually able to escape through the bathroom window, thank God.
Yeah.
And that is amazing because, according to CNN, Dennis told investigators that he had planned to kill all of the children and was disappointed that his plan failed. Dennis killed Nancy Fox, a 25-year-old secretary who worked part-time at a jewelry store. She was found strangled by nylon stockings in her home on December 8th, 1977. By the way, what a far cry from that first one that he was about to do, where he's sort of questioning, you know, he had that moment of clarity of, I don't want to do this, you know, maybe I should back down. And then the door opens and he sort of chose that path. But I wonder if, like, looking back, that's the moment where you could have said, I could have had a life of A or I could have had a life of B. I wonder if it would have changed anything.
Well, I also wonder if he's being honest about him being reserved.
And maybe he's not. Yeah, we're just taking that sort of as a grain of salt.
Never want to trust a serial killer. But, you know, yeah, it's still a great point. Take a drink.
According to court testimony, Dennis explained that he was out trolling for victims when he noticed Nancy go into her house. He decided that she should be what he referred to as one of his projects. He checked her mailbox to learn her name and stalked her for a while, even dropping by her work once. Ugh. He cut her phone lines and broke into her apartment when she wasn't home and waited for her. When she got home, here's what Dennis did, according to his court testimony. Again, this is him saying it.
Yeah.
I confronted her, told her I had a problem, a sexual problem, that I would have to tie her up and have sex with her.
Not that he was going to, but that he would just simply have to. He had no other choice.
He's got a sexual problem.
Yeah.
She was a little upset, and we talked a while, and she smoked a cigarette. While we smoked a cigarette, I went through her purse identifying some stuff, and she finally said, well, let's get this over with so I can call the police. Let's get this over with so I can call the police. So I said, okay. She said, can I go to the bathroom? I said, yes. She went to the bathroom and I told her when she came out, make sure she was undressed. When she came out, I handcuffed her. He said to the judge that after he strangled her, at the time I masturbated, sir. Again, gentleman,
yeah.
Saying sir. Uh-huh. Dennis called police from a payphone himself to report the news, according to Fox. He gave the police her name and address. So he's calling this in, you know, I mean, this talk about ultimate taunting of the police and figuring it out. I mean, he's basically throwing everything at them and being like, oh, yeah, she's dead up there. But I found this story to be so interesting. Just like, can I go to the bathroom?
But it goes back to what I was just saying is like, is this really what happened? Like, he's kind of making it seem like she was just kind of okay with it and was like trying to get it over with. For all we know, she could have been trying to get the hell out of the house.
And that's definitely true. And that could have been his own like muffling of the story. But it is kind of odd that in his court testimony, and I watched it, he's so matter of fact. It's like, you're admitting to killing 10 women. Why are you lying about these certain, like, it just felt odd to me.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a justification
also,
or what.
I mean, if it's true,
right?
What was the motivation for going to the bathroom? Like, maybe she knew she was about to die and she just wanted a minute.
Yeah.
By herself.
Ooh, that's creepy.
You know,
yeah,
you know
that's
what I
a
mean?
Good. Yeah, that's
or
true.
What do you say to yourself?
Maybe
then?
She had like a Valium in the bathroom and she took it. And she, you know what I mean? Like,
no, totally.
Like, who knows?
Yeah, it's very disturbing to think
it
about.
It does seem like an odd story, though, because if I'm going to the bathroom for my last minute alive, I'm grabbing whatever the fuck I can grab to
I'm
kill this motherfucker.
Trying to
like,
bust
point blank.
The walls down.
And that's why you don't mess with Taryn.
This is why he doesn't fuck with me,
people. You hear
people.
That, everybody out there?
Well, I will grab my electric toothbrush and I will jam it down your throat. I don't care. I'm going.
I have my electric toothbrush and my deodorant, and I'm not going down without a fight.
And my Vaseline. I'm going.
Oh, Vaseline, interesting.
Makeup remover.
Okay.
Vaseline sponsor
us. We won't dig into that. More toying with the media then happened in the early 1978. He sent let me try that again.
Yep.
In early 1978, he sent a letter to television station KAKE in Wichita. In that letter, he took responsibility for the murders of the Oteros, Shirley Vian, Nancy Fox, and Catherine Bright. This is according to the book that I just mentioned, Erotophonophilia, which is very hard to say, Investigating Lust Murder.
I think it's Erotophonophilia.
Erotophonophilia sounds right. Oh, interesting that you just have that ready to go.
Yeah, no, don't worry
included
about it.
Included in the second letter was a poem he wrote entitled, Oh, Death to Nancy, a parody of the folk song, Oh, Death. So here's that poem. By the way, I used to be a poet. I was a creative writing major in college before I realized that you don't get good jobs being a creative writing major.
There you go.
But I used to be pretty good. So I'll read this and maybe critique it. This is Oh, Death to Nancy. And by the way, these are uncorrected pronunciations. This is how he wrote it. What is this that I can see? Cold, icy hands taking hold of me. For death has come, you all can see. Hell has opened its gate to trick me. Oh, death, can't you spare me over for another year? I'll stuff your jaws till you can't talk. I'll blind your legs till you can't walk. I'll tie your hands till you can't make a stand. And finally, I'll close your eyes so you can't see. I'll bring sexual death unto you for me. BTK. I would give this a failing grade, and this is a mess, and you're an asshole. See you later.
John, you read that by correcting all of the insane.
No, totally.
Spellings. Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
Like, you read it correctly,
yeah,
and
that's true.
If you would have read it phonetically,
yeah,
it would not have sounded like that.
That's true.
And he also didn't say I'll bind your legs till you can't walk. Yeah, he said, I'll blind your legs.
Yeah, I think, did I say that? I thought I said blind.
No, you said blind.
Yeah.
You said blind, but obviously it was clearly, you think meant to say bind. I don't know how you blind a leg, yeah, but whatever the fuck I'm in. Matt, you want to test it out?
So there's that poem. I guess you could check it out yourself if you want to deconstruct the, you know,
send it to your loved ones this holiday season.
Yeah, this holiday season. In one letter to the local media, BTK wrote a letter that asked, how many people do I have to kill to get my name in the paper, according to People? Then after 1979, the killings cooled off for a long time. And, you know, this kind of reminded me of the East Area Rapist, which was one of our first episodes, who took several years away from murdering and raping people before he started doing it again.
Yep.
So very similar kind of thing going on, and similar time frame.
But this goes back to what we were talking about with Matt. Like, he wants to be fucking famous. You know, he sees himself as the fucking Superman of our generation. Like, he wants to be in the papers.
For a second there, I thought you were talking about Matt. So just glad we're clearing
that up. I think Matt knows that he's a degenerate. I'm pretty sure we hammer that in every day.
Yes,
right, Matt?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going to make another drink, and you guys have only drank a quarter of your drinks.
Yeah, Matt, because it's all alcohol.
My whole esophagus is burning and inflamed.
Yeah, what's in this? Isopropyl alcohol and vodka.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That is what is in
you
your
young
gin.
People,
it's almost painful.
You can't handle your alcohol.
I really can't. I don't do
that. Matt, we have to get back to work, okay? Not all of us can just be paid to just sit around and...
If there's a fruity drink with lots of sugar, that's my kind of thing. This straight...
You're like a fruit punch type of guy with ice.
I have been drinking fruit punch like crazy lately. I don't know what's wrong. Snapple fruit punch. If you guys want to sponsor
that was
us.
So homophobic.
Yeah, how dare you?
Yeah. I hate gay people.
Well, sadly, Darren, let's get to some more killings because he didn't stop.
He did not stop. Yeah. Maureen Hedge, 53, was strangled on April 27th, 1985. She was one of Dennis's neighbors. He strangled her in her home. According to CNN, a sergeant testified that Dennis told him he brought her body to his church to have his way with her, which apparently was taking bondage photos of her.
At church, of all places. Gosh.
Dennis put her body in a remote ditch, which baffled police, making them unsure if she was killed by BTK because it wasn't his MO. We never heard about any sort of ditch.
Exactly.
According to A&E, he actually snuck out of a Boy Scout camping trip to kill Maureen. The sergeant also testified, he stated to me that if he could really pull it off right by his house, it would really be a biggie. He told me it was really bad for a guy to knock one of the neighbors off. It's not good for a serial killer because you don't want to kill in your own habitat.
Ugh, so weird.
I feel like I'm watching National Geographic.
I know.
A killer in the wild.
Wild.
Vicky Wegerly, 28, was strangled to death on September 16th, 1986. Dennis posed as a telephone repairman, but once he was in the house, he pulled a gun on her. Before I get to this testimony, you know, I thought about that all the time when I was at home, when I was a kid, if my brother was taking care of me, if someone rang the doorbell and they were dressed in uniform, I thought... If someone's a police officer was standing there was something going around. I think it was in New York at the time where guys were dressing up as fire department and police officers. Yeah. And I just remember having that like, nope, if I see a police officer, I'm going to call 911 and make sure that it's a proper
good thinking
entry.
Yeah.
Well, you can never be too careful these days.
No, you're right.
So here's a disturbing bit of court testimony. I'll be Dennis.
Okay.
You can be the judge.
Sure.
I told her I was going to have to tie her up. She was very upset. I think I used some material. That's another thing. I think I used some material that was in their bedroom. And after I tied her hand, she broke that. We started fighting and we fought quite a bit back and forth.
She was physically fighting you?
Oh, yes, sir.
What happened then?
I finally got the hand on her and got a nylon sock and started strangling her.
Yeah, so that's...
End scene.
So using her own... things laying around this house.
Yeah. His last victim was Dolores E. Davis, who was 63. He killed her on January 19th, 1991. In court testimony, he said she came out of the bedroom and thought a car had hit her house. I told her that I used the ruse of that. I was wanted on the run, that I needed food, car, warmth. And I handcuffed her. I told her I would like to get some food, the keys to her car, talk with her a little bit, calmed her down a little bit. And eventually I checked. I think she was still handcuffed. I went back and checked out where the car was, simulated getting some food, odds and ends in her house like I was leaving, went back, removed her handcuffs, then tied her up, and then eventually strangled her.
So I guess maybe she had kind of let it go
a
little bit.
Thought he was leaving, and, yeah. That she was just helping out somebody.
So let's get to some more of him toying with the media and then eventually his arrest finally. So in 2004, 13 years after the last victim was murdered, the anniversary of the Otero murders was covered on local media stations, and this led to Dennis's downfall. He began writing to the media 11 times, actually, and dropping off packages for them. One of the packages delivered in December 2004 was for the Wichita Police. It contained the driver's license of murder victim Nancy Fox, which police had noted as stolen from the crime scene. So when was Nancy Fox? That was like one of the first
earlier ones,
right?
Yeah, it was like within the first three.
It's been quite a long time, and now her license is showing up here, which is kind of crazy.
But that's how you know it was him. Like, that's how they know that it's not like a copycat type of murder.
Totally.
I mean, he's saying, this is me, come catch me.
Right. Also in the package, a doll that was bound at the hands and feet and had a plastic bag over its head, according to the Wichita Eagle. According to the Atlantic, one of the items he sent to the media was a computer disc. Police were able to trace that computer disc back to Dennis's church. Another huge mistake, Dennis's car was spotted on security cam footage at package drop-off point. So DNA at this point in the early 2000s is totally in full force, at least to some extent. But for those of you who might be too young, computer discs were CDs and floppy disks that you used to literally have to insert into your computer to save like documents on.
Yeah.
So I didn't even realize that you were able to like trace those back to like specific computers, which I thought was very interesting. And I'm assuming if this guy at the age he is, wasn't even probably thinking that was an option.
But that mixed with the Coleman, you know, the murdered people he worked with,
right,
his car
right.
being spotted.
His
neighbor. Like, this guy's not being careful.
No, definitely not. Well,
it's not that he's not being careful. It's just that he's probably not.
He's a dumb.
Smart.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
Totally.
Okay, got it.
He blamed his murderous behavior on something he referred to as Factor X. According to Psychology Today, in one letter to the media, he said he possessed Factor X, which, quote, established serial killers like Ted Bundy also possessed. So Factor X is kind of this force to kill that seems to be uncontrollable. It's sometimes mentioned like a monster's in his brain.
Which is what you had sort of, as best as you could in English, cited of that note that he left in that book about like, there's
right.
a monster in my head. Can you get rid of it? Cause I can't.
Yeah. Throughout his, you know, quotes, he's always said kind of, you know, I can't control this, blah, blah, blah.
Again, this kind of goes back to the whole mental illness thing that
Definitely.
We were bringing up at the beginning of the episode. Well, Dennis pled guilty to murdering 10 people on June 27th, 2005. So actually not that long ago.
Yeah.
As part of his guilty plea, Dennis had to recount the details of his crimes in court, which is where a lot of our quotes came from, and you can actually watch it on YouTube.
You watched it.
In a very long-winded explanation, he discussed his crimes and his victims. The prosecutor compared his 30-minute monologue to an Academy Awards acceptance speech. He gave a 30-minute cringe-worthy rambling sentencing statement. In it, he aligned himself to his victims in a narcissistic, warped way, and this is, I'm going to quote here what I sort of watched. Nancy Fox, she was a wonderful person, and I did track her just like a predator. She was well-organized, hard worker. She was a gardener. I loved to garden flowers. She attended church, the same church I went to. Joseph Otero was in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force. He was a husband. I was a husband. Although I always wanted to be a pilot, he was a pilot. One time I even thought about taking pilot lessons. It's interesting because reading that and hearing him say that was actually the first time I remember that he was married. Because I'm what the fuck is his wife doing? Does she know that he's off doing this? Why not her? Why is she not considered a victim? You know, what makes her sort of special or, you know.
Also, the fact that Nancy went to his church, what the fuck?
Right.
Now we have, he killed two of his coworkers. He killed one person in his church.
Sloppy.
Yeah, and we don't know much about
sloppy.
Like the police investigation into this, do we? So that's another interesting part. Like, I want to know how they weren't able to like triangulate all
right,
the
like,
people around
him.
What
are they doing in the meantime?
Right.
But
I think that's what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
He's pleading guilty. I mean, he's admitting to everything according to him. We don't know if it could be more than 10 people. We don't know. On August 18th, 2005, Dennis received 10 consecutive life sentences for the 10 people he admitted to killing, and he's in the El Dorado Correctional Facility in Kansas. He's in solitary confinement for his own protection. I imagine that a lot of people would probably want to kill him. He actually earned special privileges for good behavior, like access to television and radio and to read magazines. According to the Wichita Eagle, Dennis Rader's family His wife and two children went into hiding after the BTK's identity was revealed. They were hounded by the media, I imagine.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I always wonder, like, did they change their last names? Yeah. Like, are they out there and they don't even want any association? Do people know who they are? I'm so interested in that.
Yeah, I don't think that's anyone's like first Tinder profile. No. Like, oh, by the way,
yeah. I claim to fame here.
Some people thought the wife surely knew something was up, even though investigators were positive she did not have a clue. And we've seen this in a bunch of cases. People often do not know, even spouses, good friends, family members. They hide it. It's a second life.
Well, it seemed like he was an active member of the church. He was a leader of the Boy Scouts troop.
A nice guy all around.
Yeah, there was nothing really indicating that he would be a serial killer in the side.
Well, actually, just this year, Dennis's daughter spoke out for the first time. She said, quote, "You are alive. There is almost a guilt there for being alive. They died and you got to live. And my dad got to walk me down the aisle at my wedding. He should have been in prison in 1974. He shouldn't have gotten the right to raise us. Other people got their daughters taken away from them."
Wow, that's very interesting. So
that says to me that she doesn't. Yeah, this. That she is flabbergasted, shocked, yeah. Feels terrible for the victims, and honestly it wants to just completely rid her father of her life. But that is the BTK killer. That is Dennis. That is what he did.
Yeah.
And he is suffering in prison because of that.
All right. There you go. So this is for all of you guys who wrote into us, voicemailed us.
Thank you so much for the suggestion. We hope we did it justice.
Let's move over to listener shout outs now. Danielle on Twitter says, "Are you guys doing any additional live shows in New York City soon? Obsessed with your podcast." Well, yes, we are.
Funny you should mention that.
I wrote back to Danielle on Twitter. But for anybody who's wondering, December 21st at 7:30 at Caroline's on Broadway, we'll have special guest Michelle Collins. Tickets can be found at oxygen.tv/Caroline's, and there is a link to that in the description of the show.
Jillian on Twitter says, "It took me less than a month to binge all 49 episodes of Martinis and Murder. I love you, Carpe Darren, Jay Thrasher. You make my 50-minute commute a joy. Thanks for being awesome." You know, 50
sorry,
minutes.
I yeah. what, oh. Do I not exist?
That was a redacted statement. I don't know. Do I
not exist? I cannot believe this.
This is literally like the only comment that doesn't include him.
And look how fucking egotistical he is.
It's insane.
Like, he needs to include me. I'm part of the team. We're like, Matt, shut up.
Can we just have one comment where it's just
like
us?
One, Matt. Like, give us one.
You know, 49 episodes ago, I'm not sure anyone even knew what was going on with
Matt.
But
we are impressed you finished 49 episodes in a month. That is a feat.
I think I wrote her back and I was like, I'm so sorry you had to hear my voice for that
absolutely.
For that long. Yeah. Well, and of course, thanks to everyone for commenting and having fun with Matt's Instagram. Matt, what is your latest follower account on Instagram? Do you know?
Off the top of your head?
No. Okay. While Darren looks that up.
If he has more than me, I'm going to flip a shit.
You can look in the show notes and link straight to Matt's Instagram, which is Matt_the_bartender.
Hold on.
We're posting there all the time.
2,354 followers.
Oh, there you go. Matt's famous. What do you know?
But you know, when we look through its feed, it's like all of us.
It really is.
So I feel
us.
Better.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
True. We did have one voicemail, right, this week, Darren?
We did have one voicemail, yeah. And this voicemail just was
amazing.
The best. It had me cracking up. Remember the big pumpkin pie scuffle of 2017 from the last few episodes? Well, Amy from Missouri wanted to chime in on
I'm sorry. What was that?
That incident was
that?
When John said...
He's a communist.
And he was like, oh,
I had my first piece of pumpkin pie this past weekend.
And Matt and I were like... What? This is the first time Matt and I have ever agreed on anything. We were like, excuse me, you've never had a piece of pumpkin pie? You're like, I'm in my first time this
attacked.
Year. And
we I
were
feel
like, that's not how you phrase it, creative writing English major. That's not what you do.
Oh,
are you BTK?
Wow.
Are you telling me something?
Wow.
Are there monsters
are
in
you
your
clapping?
Head? I mean... Get it together.
This is, oh my goodness. I feel very attacked. I feel cornered. I'm getting hot and flustered.
Well, in order to make you feel better, Amy from Missouri has the best story for you guys. Take a listen.
Hey, y'all. My name's Amy, and I'm from Missouri. If you want to hate on some pumpkin pie stories. So my cat accidentally stepped in the pumpkin pie I baked this year for Thanksgiving, and I really didn't want to make another one, so I just put Cool Whip over it, and my family ate it. So I don't know if that's bad or not, but I assume they're okay. So hopefully that makes you feel a little bit better, John, and you're not so worried about the pumpkin pie. Well, thank you guys so much, and I love your show. Bye.
Amy, so sorry to hear about the pie.
I am not. I would do the same fucking thing. Kudos to you. And by the way, love cats. So
I was going to say, I couldn't tell if she said cat or my pap. Because, by the way, my pap would step in the pumpkin pie.
Oh,
so
I was thinking
like,
pap smear, and I was like, no.
Pap
is
in grandfather, Dan. Taking this show in all kinds of different directions
today.
Well,
I don't know, John. You've never had a piece of pumpkin pie in your life, so I don't know where we are at this point.
And, by the way, I'm...
He had his first one.
His first
year.
One. That's right.
We're done.
Thank
here.
You, Matt.
Thanks, everybody.
That's a good point. Take a drink.
That's a wrap on Martinis and Murder. I almost said Watch What Happens Live.
Get
what is wrong with me?
John, are you BTK? Are
find
you?
Out on next week's
Tell
episode.
Me.
By the way, this was our 50th episode, a milestone episode.
Oh my God.
So high five.
Oh
Yay.
My God. We're old as Matt.
Yay.
We're just as old as Matt. Yay.
I am not fucking 50.
It's not 50. Don't
Fine,
give
you're almost 60, Matt. Chill.
See you next week. Bye.